Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Today, we're going to start talking about, well, last week we started talking about holy habits, and these aren't like legalism things like, oh great, I got to do these things so I can be in right standing with God. No, holy habits, the whole reason for this series is because I think all of us in our own desire, we want to grow closer to Jesus. And so these are ways that allow us, they we're going to learn. In fact, when it comes to prayer, prayer's kind of like the weather. A lot of us talk a lot about the weather, but we don't do much to change the weather because we can't. Prayer's something we can change. We can talk about it, but I hope it's more than just talk. I hope it's something we can do. In fact, I heard a story once, and I shared a couple, probably a year or so ago here, but there's a preacher and a cab driver. They both died. They went to heaven. And the preacher's thinking like, man, I've done all these things for God. Surely the rewards are huge, right? And the cabbie's, you know, in line before him with St. Peter, and they're in the golf carts. They're driving on gold streets up there, and they pull up to this mansion, this beautiful palatial palace of a home. And the preacher's thinking, that must be mine. I mean, look at the backyard. There's zip lines. There's a wave pool in the backyard. He's like, I love heaven. And St. Peter looks at the cabbie and says, hey, bro, that's yours. Go get it. And the cab driver smiles. And so the preacher's thinking, if the cab driver gets that, my home's going to be incredible. And they drive through some neighborhoods because, you know, God's building a home for us. The Bible says, you know, if I go, I can prepare a place for you. And so they drive around the corner, and as they're driving, the homes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And there's like a two-bedroom Rambler with, I call it Las Vegas real estate. I mean, land, just kind of rock landscape, no grass. And he's thinking, like I was a preacher. I mean, and he looks at St. Peter and says, I think, Peter, there's a, maybe you've made a little bit of a mistake. I'm the preacher here, and you gave the cabbie the mansion, and I get the little Ramblers. There's something going on. And Peter responded, matter of factly, you know, here's the deal. We kind of expect results. And when you preached, people fell asleep. And when the cabbie drove, people prayed. So look at your spouse right now and say, he just gave me permission to sleep. No, we're going to talk about prayer, but I want to tell you, if you could turn your Bibles, it's also been on the screens, and if you're online, you can follow along. You know, if you're listening online or ever on your phone, we have the notes on our app. You can download our app, and the notes are right there, or the worship guide that we passed out here. But in Luke chapter 11, Jesus one day was praying in a certain place, the Bible says, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. In other words, out of all the things they saw Jesus do, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, Jesus, could you teach us the right molecular makeup of that mud that you spit in and put in the blind man's eyes and his eyes opened up? I mean, because if you taught us that, we maybe could figure out how to bottle that and we could help you, God, heal people. Or they never said, hey, God, could you teach us how to walk on water when it's not frozen? They didn't say that. They didn't say, hey, teach us. They said, teach us how to pray, because they must have identified after being with him for long enough and close enough to realize that the stuff that Jesus did came from a dynamic, intimate prayer life that he had with his Father. So they said, teach us how to pray. And they noticed that Jesus, it was important to slip away and spend time with the Father. And so today, I'm going to talk to you or just share with you three ways that we can or should pray. Three ways, and for some of you in here, it's like, man, maybe you got prayer down and you should be teaching this lesson. You got it all together. I don't know about you. I've never felt like my prayer life was where it should be. I always felt like there was something more I could be learning. There's something I could be growing in. I don't know about you. I've been married 23, almost 24 years, and I feel like we have great communication, but I think I could still grow in my communication with my bride. I hope that you're at a place, a posture today of going, God, I want to continue to grow in my relationship with you through prayer. So three ways we can, and in fact, almost everything you do, you probably learned how to do from someone else. How many of you learned how to cook because you read a cookbook? Now that helps, but some of us learned how to cook by watching what? Our moms or our dads, or whoever cooked in the home, or foster parent, whoever it was, or we learned how to ride a bike. And I've always wondered, you ever wondered why girls' bikes, guys should learn how to ride bikes on girls' bikes, not bikes with bars. Guys, they got it wrong. Sorry, I know it's on prayer, but bike riding caused me to pray an awful lot. I got closer to Jesus. But I was I learned how to swim because someone taught me. I learned how to bike, and I learned how to. There's lots of things I learned, and we learned by watching someone teaching us. And so, teach us how to pray, they said. And so, three ways we can pray. Number one, if you're taking notes in a worship guide, it's number one, you can pray by yourself privately. And now, if you're an introvert, say amen. Introverts are like, I'm not going to talk right now. How many introverts are like, yes, I get to pray by myself. This is incredible. God is so good. In Matthew chapter 6, it says this, and when you pray. I want to pause. Notice Jesus says, and when you pray, not if you pray. Because God assumes that as a son or daughter or as a Christ follower, a Jesus person, you're going to be someone who's going to pray. Then, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or the church buildings and on the street corners to be seen by people or men. I tell you the truth, and I always stop. Whenever Jesus is saying something, he says, I tell you the truth, I'm thinking like, well, thank you for clarifying that because I was questioning whether you were or not. He is the truth, right? So when the truth is telling you the truth, that's good. The devil's a liar and always lies, but he's going to kind of come charading as the truth. But Jesus says, hey, I tell you the truth. They've received their full reward. But when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. See, the author's communicating a little bit about prayer, and he says this, prayer is not about what other people will think about you or see. Prayer is between you and God. You communicate to God. If you want to go on the street corners and pray for everyone to see you, you got your reward. Everyone saw you. But that's not what prayer is about. In other words, prayer is not how big your vocabulary is. Prayer is not how good your words sound to you or sound to other people. Prayer is when you close the door and don't care and don't worry about what other people might think or how your words come out. Prayer is when you get alone with God and you get to communicate on a raw level. I always have told people, pray as you can, not as you can't. In other words, you might not have the right. See, prayer is our language. Answers to prayer is God's language. We have to pray. And so he says, you go into a room, you close the door, and we're the Father who's unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now here's what I love. Matthew's telling us here, it's not about the amount of words or even what words you use. God already knows what you need before you even ask him. You don't have to pray in King James English, oh, Goddeth up in heaveneth, the man who bestoweth me with favor. I cometh you today, if thou art listening. No, you just go, God, things are difficult right now, and I don't even know how to ask you, but you know what I need before I ask you, so I'm just going to get it out there. You ever been around those people where you're like, just get to the facts? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah, and so what are you wanting? You're wanting me to ask a question, and you've not asked me a question. You've just told me. I think what he's saying is get past all of the verbosity and get to the bullet points. Quit your babbling. Just ask. I already know what you need. Just tell me what you need. In fact, at the end of this, the very next verse, in fact, let me read it for you. The very next verse says this. Then Jesus, This is how you should pray. And he says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And the Lord's Prayer is there, and the Lord's Prayer is very succinct and very short. It's not like we're supposed to just repeat the Lord's Prayer every time we pray. It's a model for us, but it's a model to get right to the point. And you know what? It's not all the words you say. In fact, if you haven't picked up a prayer guide in the foyer, the Lord's Prayer is a great model. And on page 5 of the book, it kind of walks through, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven," connect with God relationally. "God, I come to you as my Father right now. You're not just a neighbor I might know, you're a Father. And hallowed be your name. God, I come to you because you're righteous. I come to you because you sanctify me." And you can walk through, and if you need a model for prayer, it's not all the words you say, but it's coming to him, and you come to him privately. It was intended to be a model. Now, when you're learning to pray in private, you're learning to pray, there's a couple things I want to encourage you with. Number one, if you're taking notes, when you're learning to pray, number A, pray God's word, which is his will. Pray God's word. If you don't know what to pray, then pick up his word. How many want to know his word is his will? In fact, in John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." If the word's inside of you, you begin to pray his will. And in the prayer guide, and I'm a selfless pusher. I mean, if we're going to print something, I hope you use it, okay? I hope we don't talk about prayer and don't practice prayer. But in this book on page 22, there's different scriptures to pray. And I was thumbing through this last week, and I was thinking about different people in our church. I prayed scriptures over some of you, and it says on page 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." I prayed for some folks I know are walking through some difficult times. "And I'll give you rest." And I love the prayer here, "Lord, I'm tired and I'm worn out. I feel exhausted mentally and physically. Life feels hard and I feel like I can't keep up with my current pace." And you can tell God what's going on. Sometimes you get to his word and you can begin to pray that. It says in Hebrews, he'll never leave you or forsake you. So you can go, "God, right now I feel alone, but I know one fact. You're here, and since you're here, you plus me is a majority, so let's do some business, God." You pray your word, pray his word over your situations. And if you don't know where to start just on page 22 here, or go to the book of Psalms, which are a lot of songs and different prayers, and flip through them. Now, there's ones on there that talk about, like, "Lord, kill my enemy." Don't like, "Yes, I claim that for my, Lord, kill him today, Lord." No, I'm not talking about that. But flip through the Psalms, and there's 150 Psalms. And so if you think of it this way, there's average of 30 days in a month. Just pick on the first day of the month, you pick the first Psalm, and then you go from the first Psalm, you go to the 10th, and then to the 20th, and then to the 30th, and then to the, you have 15 options if you do that. And on the second day, you go to the second, and you go to the 12th, and you go to the 22nd, to the 32nd, and you could probably find a psalm if you go that way, and you can, in 30 days, you can read a lot of the psalms and begin to pray them over your life. Because when you pray the word, you pray his will. "And whatever you ask in my name, it'll be given to you." In 1 John, here's a truth for you. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, say anything, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked for. So that's why you pray the word of God. If you pray the word of God, you know you're praying his will. I've had people come to me and say, "Well, Pastor, God told me I'm supposed to marry this girl." Well, does she know Jesus? No. God didn't speak to you about marrying her. Because the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. I'm not going to pray. You know, so the reality is do you know the Bible? Here's the truth. I remember hearing this in Bible college, and the older I get, I'm growing old too fast and smart too slow. Anyone here know what I'm talking about? Heard someone say, "You only know God to the degree you know his word." You only know God to the degree you know his word. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how to have a how to have a holy habit of beginning to get in the Word of God and having a time with Jesus and how to read the Bible and have it make sense and how to have a time of connecting with Jesus and beyond prayer. But you have to know the Word. And so, because when you know His Word, you know His will, you pray that direction. I know this. In fact, Pastor Rob preached last message, and he spent 20 years in Jordan as a missionary in Jordan. And so he said this last week, people coming up, so what do you think about this, the unrest over in Iran and Iraq and that whole area? He goes, I don't know. I can read the book of Revelation and try to cross-reference it with CNN and Fox News, and I don't know what's going on. But he said, I know this, it's not His will that anyone over there would come, that anyone would die, but all would come to repentance. So let's pray that everyone over there comes to know Jesus. We know that's God's will. So God, no matter what happens over there, when people make decisions, Lord, I pray people would come to know You in the process. Got to know His Word. Get it tucked inside your heart. I know I should pray a blessing over my kids. And I know that if I train them up in the way they should go, in the end, they won't depart. That does not mean they won't have difficult times. But I can say, Lord, right now it looks difficult, but You told me if I keep training them, they'll come back. And Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on to Your Word. I'm going to pray the Word over my children. Pray the Word over my marriage. Pray the Word over my family. The second thing we pray for is, when we pray privately, is we pray for wisdom. How many of you think you have everything figured out? If you do, you're probably a teenager. Then you'll think you found the right person to marry. Then you get married and you realize, wow. I don't know what just happened. I'm trying to figure her out. She's trying to figure me out. I know one thing. I'm a lot smarter than my wife Heidi is. Because I married her and she married me. That makes me smarter than her. I got a much better deal than some of you gasped. Didn't even let me finish what I was saying. I got a better deal than she got is what I was trying to say. And you're like, he just said he's smarter than me. I didn't say she was stupid. I just said I'm smart because I married her. She got me. Ha! It's a farce. That's like the deal of all deals right there. I got Nordstrom, she got Value Village, okay? I mean, hello. But in my marriage, there's times I have to go, Lord, I don't understand what I've now got in-laws, and I've got relationships, and I've got, I need wisdom. And just when I thought I was getting better at it, we had kids. We're like, oh, Lord. Lord, do you want to slap them or do you want me to? I need wisdom. I wouldn't slap my kids, okay? That was a joke for those of you that were like, he slaps his kids. No, I do believe in discipline, though, but not that way. James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. So in life, friends, we try to figure a lot of things out. We have a lot of habits. I'll tell you right now, you need a habit of finding a place, a time, a place to slip away, spend some time with Jesus alone, and begin to communicate to Him, and begin to pray the Scriptures as you read them, and begin to speak them over your home, and over your life, and over your finances, and over your home, and over your family, and then ask God for wisdom when you lack wisdom, and then it's a promise. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, and He'll grant it. There's power in private prayer, but there's another type of prayer. Secondly, the second type of prayer we need to learn is we can pray with other people corporately. So we have private prayer, we have corporate, and the extroverts love this. Like, yeah, I get to be with people and pray. Yeah, we pray corporately. And I think it was one of the best ways to pray is to learn how to pray is when you pray with other people. In fact, the Bible says there's power in two or three when they come together. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, for where two or three come together in my name, I'm there with them. How many want to know when two or three gather together, God's there? You want to know if God's here today? Guess what? There's more than two and three of us, so guess what? You plus me plus God is the majority. I think we can change the world because God's here right now. And when two or three come together and begin to pray, there's power in that prayer, and God's there. So your two becomes the majority. You shift the atmosphere, you can change all these things. And so when you begin to pray with other people, there's power. And in verse 19, right before that, it says this: again, I tell you that if two on earth agree, say agree, about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. When two or three agree, that word agree, it's the Greek word symphonia. It's where we get the word symphony from. It's where I'm not a musician. You don't want me to be a musician. I mean, if I tried to be a musician, you'd say, I'm glad he's not a musician. But a symphony is when you put all the instruments together and they begin to, I don't even know the right word. But in music, it's like with singing, it's called harmony. Okay, and everyone's got their part and they all come together. And when two or more come together and symphonize in prayer, there's something beautiful that happens in that time of agreement. Something powerful. And friends, you might think it's just words you're saying back and forth. No, there's spiritual things happening. Because when two or three gather together and agree on anything, we know that when two or three are there, God's there. And there's agreement. And when there's agreement in God, I'm telling you, something's going to happen. And I would encourage some of you. You might say, well, Mark, I kind of like that introvert part where I can go into my closet and be by myself. There comes a time where sometimes, friends, you can't suffer in silence anymore. Or you can't, sometimes you got to kind of come out. You got to find a couple other people and begin to pray. And one thing I love about the prayer guide, for those of you that maybe are new to prayer, maybe you're new to relationship with Jesus, The back of the book has a place for you to kind of begin to list your needs. And I would encourage some of you to think about, perhaps I should get together with a buddy or two, and we have coffee, and we can go through my prayer list, and we'll start praying over things together. I'll tell you why that's important. It's because, number one, as you pray for someone else, you're listening to what they need. Now, how many guys, this happens to me sometimes, you say, so how can I pray for you? And they tell me, and by the time they're done telling me, I forgot what they asked. Anyone ever been there? Now, I would encourage you to do that. I believe there's, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but I think sometimes God helps you forget it because God wants to begin to speak through you as you pray for people. I believe that. We call it prophecy or words of knowledge or words of wisdom or revelation, but here we're a Spirit-empowered church. We believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us. God's a God who still speaks. Why can't he speak through us? And I've been praying for people. I'm thinking like, oh, snap. There's like four of us here, and they all said their prayer requests, and the person I'm supposed to pray for, I forgot how to pray for them. And I'm like going, God, help. And so I'll tell you what I do. I start praying scripture over them. Because when you pray scriptures, you pray what? God's will. Lord, I pray blessings over this person. I pray that, Lord, the Bible says you have good plans for them, plans for a hope and for a future. And then as I'm praying for them, sometimes I'll see a picture and I'll see like a hallway. I've seen this happen. I saw a hallway and all these doors were slamming, but there's a door at the end that was open. And I said, as I pray for her, I said, I don't know what your true need is, but I feel like you're tired of doors shutting. But God's got an open door for you if you keep walking. Don't grow weary in doing. And the person's like, how'd you know? And they start getting a little, they might spring a leak in their eyes sometimes. I don't know. But God wants you, when you gather with people, to begin to hear his voice, to pray over people. Be open to it. But it doesn't happen if you don't corporately, two or three, get together. God is there. And if God's there, why doesn't he want to? He might want to use you to begin to speak to them and encourage them. There's power in unified prayer. Write the needs down. In fact, one of my favorite things about our life group, and I have a life group with the board of elders at our church here. One of the favorite parts of our life group is when at the end, the women go to the kitchen or they stay in the living room, and I go to the kitchen with the men, whatever we decide to do, and we gather a little close and say, how can we pray for each other? Get a little notepad there, our life group book, and we write the needs down. And I'll say, okay, Scott, could you pray for Al? And Al, could you pray for... And I walk around, and I've seen men develop in prayer because you simply, in two or three, get together, and they begin to pray. And I want to encourage you to start to think about that. In fact, life groups launch on the 2nd of February. I'd encourage you to sign up. I can't promise you'll meet your best friend, but I can promise that you'll grow. The commitment of going. And the third way we should pray, so there's private prayer, there's corporate prayer, and then we should pray and not give up. That's persistent prayer. And I kind of say it like this. Our prayer should be like woodpecker lips. We should just keep pecking and pecking. You ever been out hunting and going, I wish that woodpecker would just quit woodpecking? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like, ugh. Well, in Matthew, where we read earlier, Jesus talks about, hey, if you're going to pray, don't pray in the street corners like the hypocrites, and where, you know, where everyone, they pray to be seen by everyone, they get the reward, but rather go in your prayer closet. And then he says that, but pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he tells a story. Story about a man whose in-laws show up. And we know it's his in-laws because they showed up late. They showed up expecting for him to feed them at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they expect to stay for a while. It's his in-laws. Because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Who feeds the friends at 2 o'clock in the morning? And so, don't look at me like, you don't feed people 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I would if they're starving, okay? Don't look at me like that, okay? But in this parable, he says they show up, and so this guy has no food, so he goes to his neighbor's house, knocks on the door, wakes his neighbor up, says, hey, I ran out of food. I got some friends that showed up. Could you lend me some bread? And the guy's going through the door. Do you realize it's 2 o'clock in the morning? My family's asleep. You're going to wake them all up. Would you just go home and go back to bed? And the guy keeps knocking. And he goes, go home. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And finally, he opens the door and says, okay, I'm going to give you some food so you'd go home. Not because I'm a nice guy. I want to go back to bed. And the whole story is told because he's going, prayer needs to be like that. If there's a need you have, you just keep going before until the need is met. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. It's that whole scripture is in that context of prayer, is that at times you just keep going. And see, prayer changes us. How many believe that? Prayer doesn't change God. God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Prayer changes us. See, sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. And sometimes the answer is grow. Know and grow. In other words, you're not ready. If I give that to you now, it's not going to be good. So let's grow a little bit. And so there's another story in the Bible, a persistent widow that just kept going before the Father until the unrighteous judge finally grants the request. Not because he wanted to grant the request, he got tired of the judge. But there's something about persistence. There's something that changes with us when we keep going before the Father. And I'll tell you right now, if you have a need in your home, don't give up until God answers or until there's a shift or a change. God can do that. I don't have time to unpack everything. I want to give you a quick model here as we close here this morning. I call it the Acts Prayer Model. It's on your worship guide here. An Acts Prayer Model, a simple model for prayer. Number one, A is adoration. In Ephesians, it says, praise be to God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So if you wanted to go home, maybe you've never prayed a whole lot, just write Acts on the side of a notepad or type it in, Acts, and begin to thank the Lord for who he is. Just adore him. Thank him for who he is. And then C stands for confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of you guys have ever stood by someone really in shape? And the longer you stood there, the more you realize you don't look like them? And it's not because of what they do. It's because you don't do what they do. And when you stand close to God, you start realizing you don't look like him. And you start going, oh God, I'm sorry. I've been eating the wrong food. I haven't been acting right. I've been on the treadmill enough, Lord. And there's some things. So Acts starts when you get close to God. You start to worship him for who he is. You start to see yourself. We talked about this last week, for who you really are. And so you come to him. You begin to confess to him. Acknowledge the areas of your life you need God's help with. And then you begin to thank him that he's a God who can help. Thanksgiving is T. And that's Thanksgiving, where give thanks to the Lord for he's good. His love endures forever. Notice I haven't even got to the part where we pray about our needs. Because that's typically most of our prayers. We go to God with our needs, and that's about it. But I tell you right now, when you start with adoration, you bring everything into context. You come to him with adoration. You begin to confess and understand there's things in your life that need to change. You begin to thank him that he's the God who's done all these things. See, it's really a attitude of gratitude. In fact, the word gratitude is the word gracious and attitude together. It's this attitude of gratitude. You ever watch Winnie the Pooh? Some of us are Eeyores. You ever, Eeyore's like a, you know, you ever been around Eeyore? You ever been Eeyore where you're just like kind of down and grouchy? Or maybe you're a Tigger. I think Tigger's on drugs, okay? But I won't go there, okay? He was way too happy all the time, okay? Or, you know, I don't know who you are, but this whole attitude of gratitude, thank you, the Lord. Everything's Tigger, friend. I mean, everything's perfect, right? Thanking him for who he is. And then supplication is S. Philippians, it says, and God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. My, you've all heard the story. Get all your bags or all your eggs in one basket. You ever seen that? Heard that little cliche? Where my dad's a chicken farmer, so he's got a big old thing. I'm going to get all your eggs in my basket and sell them to you. But I always say with prayer sometimes, prayer is getting all our bags in one basket. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. But prayer, if you take the Acts model, it's not in the prayer guide. There's other models in the prayer guide that are incredible for us to use. These are models to help us grow in prayer. God, I want to adore you today. I got to confess some areas in my life. I want to thank you that you can do these things. And God, you're the God who supplies my needs. Could you help me in this area? Now, here's the closing truth as we close. Prayer is the window into the heart of God. Why is prayer so important? Not you can check it off the list. Prayer is important because we need to grow close to Jesus. All of us in this room. We all need to grow closer to Jesus. In fact, here's the reality. Some of us in here have a relationship with Jesus, and if we die today, we're not promised tomorrow. We know we'll see him in heaven. There's some of you in here maybe today. You walked in here because you lost a bet. You walked in here because it's like New Year's. I got to get my life kind of, I've been in some other stuff. I want to ditch that stuff and kind of get my, I want to recalibrate some things and get on my right track. I got to get some studs in my life so I can, not men, but I got to get some traction again. Maybe you're here and you lost all spiritual traction. You came back today because you knew you weren't where you needed to be. In fact, I would say it this way. If you leave here today and forget who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot. You shut the live stream off in a moment and you forget who Mark Schweifel is, you haven't lost much. But if you leave here today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. So if you're here today and you're not in right relationship with Jesus, it's as easy as A, B, C, we say around here at True North. A, admit you've sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Admit you've sinned, believe that he can forgive us, and then C, confess him as Lord. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Not saved from taxes, not saved from difficult times, saved from the sin that separates us from Jesus. If you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, I would like to pray with you. You bow your heads and close your eyes in this auditorium, on the live stream right now, wherever you're at. You've never made a commitment to Jesus. Just pray this prayer silently as I prayed out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned, but I believe that you died for me. Please forgive me for my sins today. You died to forgive me of my sins, and I'm so thankful for that. So today I confess you as Lord of my life. Please be my Savior and my life leader in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.